Now, the next workshop is Children's Ministry Deliver High Impact Discipleship. And as we go through this workshop, I'd like to invite you, please, if you would, to feel free to ask any questions. Interrupt me if you would like, so that we can discuss as we go. We'll be through at the workshop at 11:45, whether we're through or not, because it's lunchtime, all right? And I hope that you're having a good experience and you've made some friends on this, because you need one another, and there are people here that understand things about your world like none other as well. So, if you would take your outline out, and some of you may be missing an outline. For that, I apologize. I made extras in case people did not run them off, and I'm not sure if you got the word that it's good to go online and run them off. But if you do not have one, if you would just, can we just share, since I don't have any more, and I've distributed them all. If you would like to get an outline of this material, you may download from the website of Breakfort, I believe. That's where they were supposed to be available. But if not, email me personally. Anything that you would like, email me personally. And we're going to send it through the website info@kidscountpublishing.org. So you can go on this website, hit info, and then say, hi, Roger. And someone will talk to me and say, what are they talking about? And I'll say, here. Get them this, and if there's anything I can do to help you with that. Okay. What? Yes?
I have an extra one.
Oh, an extra one. And we are good sharers. Give a hand clap for being good sharers right here. Thank you so much. There you go. Principles of High Impact Discipleship. You know what? The only thing is, I don't know that I've got an outline by now. I think I gave it away. That is weird. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Yeah, you have one. You just got one. I can follow the slides. Here's the warm-up question. What's the value of your children's ministry? Now, it's this. It's your perception of how your church perceives the value of your children's ministry. It's not how much you perceive it to be important. It's your perception of how much your general church sees the importance of children's ministry. I'd like you to rate that on a scale from 1 to 10. 10 is the highest. Think about that just for a moment. And then I'd like you to share it with one person next to you, and a little explanation as to why you chose that number. This, by the way, is so vitally important because one of your most important jobs in children's ministry is to raise the value of children's ministry. So, discuss that. What did you choose? What was your number, and why? You can begin your discussion. All right. Let's share with the group what your number was. Everyone, you have two hands. Raise them above you and give us your number. Wow. Wow. We've got some great things happening. I see some eights, nines, and did I see any tens? Way to go. Way to go, Lord. By the way, In heaven, they're all going tens right now, okay? You guys got to know that. They are going tens right now. But here on this side of heaven, and even though it's the kingdom of God, sometimes we struggle with this one. If you were to look at this list on your outline, and on first impression, I want you to write the number that you perceive to those values on the scale of 1 to 10, your perception of the entire church's perception. What would be the number that you give to your your perception of the church is perceiving the value of preaching. Write that down. How about men's ministry? Women's ministry? Children's ministry? College young adult ministry? Missions or evangelism? Both of those together. Music? Worship? Small groups? We're teaching. Teen? Youth? Senior citizens? Family ministry? Others. I made you do it fast because your first impression is probably the most important in this. Now, where did children's ministry fall in that list? I hate to do a comparison because we're not to compare ourselves in terms of assessing our value because our value is given to us by God. But in terms of the organizational structure, it's kind of helpful to know where we're starting from. Because what we want to do is we want to raise the value of children's ministry. And one of the ways we're going to do it is give them discipleship. It's not hype. It's discipleship that begins to move it up. So what was the ranking of children's ministry in your church? Hold your number up. Wow. We got some twos, tens, fours, threes, ones. Wow. Well, you know, this would be a kind of an interesting conversation. Anyone with a one, two, or three, raise your hands. Okay, look around. Hold them up. At breaks, if you're... It's worth talking to these people. And these people will share with compassion if you're dealing with some struggles in this area. But I'd like to help you along with this area as well. And not just those people that are in the fours and the fives or the nines or the tens. No, fours or the fives or the ones or the twos, but also the nines or the tens. There are four steps to raising the value of children's ministry. First of all, we want to give a biblical vision for children's ministry. It's important because God said it's important. And what I will do sometimes if I'm speaking up in front of the church, it might be that season which we're inviting our ministry partners to serve. I'd stand up there and say, hey folks, guess what? It's that time where we're going to have a new season of ministry partners in Kids Count, which is the name of our local ministry in our church. And if you're an adult here that would help us at least take care of these kids while their parents are in... can get down to some of the important things that they're doing in the worship center here or in some of their Bible classes. And just to kind of make sure that these kids are supervised and you can, take care of them for a little bit. If you'd be willing to do that, I don't want you anywhere near our ministry. I'm not looking for you. However, if you would like to connect with a small group of kids in such a way that you would find out about their worlds and their heart, and you would have the opportunity to give to them the joy of knowing Jesus and serving Him and making a difference with their lives now and throughout their lifetime, that will change the trajectory of their life, that will actually impact so many more lives, that will change and reach a whole generation and change this world, well, I've got something for you. You see the difference? Because that's a biblical view of the way God would view it. And I probably should have said the way that Jesus would have said, you know, let the little children come to me, because you're going to learn from them, by the way, for theirs is the kingdom of God. By the way, great line here. Who in the Bible best modeled being a kid as an adult? Think of it all the way through. Who best modeled being a kid as an adult? The answer is, always the right answer is, usually.
Jesus.
And why? Look what he did. Look how he loved to spend time with the Father. And he asked the Father, as the Son asked the Father, what are you doing, Dad? I want to do what you do. Continually. And he delighted himself in being with the Father. And he had a sense of joy and inquisitiveness too about what the Father was doing. So that's just one of his characteristics. You look at his prayer life, it was very childlike. Okay. So let's give them a biblical vision for children's ministry. And as leaders, we've got to champion the cause. How do you best champion the cause of the value of children's ministry? Tell stories, tell stories, tell stories. That's how you cast a vision. By the way, there's more than that, but I'm going to... let me stop right there. Leaders, there's some great leaders in this room. I need three suggestions of what you do as a leader that champions the cause of children's ministry in your church. Little things. It just says that children's ministry is important. And I'm going to put you on the microphone, Mr. Microphone, the power of Mr. Microphone.
Parade on Palm Sunday. And often try to sing songs or learn actions to do during worship.
Excellent. Thank you. Did you have one?
Yes. I try to do a lot of different bulletin boards that focus on children's ministry. Some of them are stories and some of them are just cute things for everybody in the church to look at and ask questions about.
By the way, as you know, children's ministry is a visual ministry. And your visual facility has got to say it's important. Who else do we have?
Every Sunday we have called the kids to...
And even if you're a guest for the first time, you go there and you say, kids are important here.
Once a year we do prayer bookmarks.
Wow, that's such a great idea. And by the way, we're going to talk about that later here in the book Sticky Faith. And I talked to Chap Clark about that. And the power of the kids whose faith makes it in the long run are the ones who had not only faith talks about at home, but they had a cohort of people around them that when they left home, they were actually came back and they connected with the people who'd been praying for them. Thank you. Pass this down. Did you have one? Or someone? I'm sorry. Yes. Oh. Wow. Thank you. And let's get one more over, one more back here.
We have a Kids Serve Sunday where the kids will do the ushering and collect money. And one of the families of the kids will preach that Sunday. So it's just a total family type service.
Wow. Thank you. You guys are all over. We got to get one more because it's important right here.
Thank you. I have the kids... telling a story, taking turns and telling a story, or reciting or reading a psalm.
Wow. Letting the kids minister. What you're doing is you're treating kids like disciples.
Yep.
Because they don't have a junior Holy Spirit. They've got the real Holy Spirit. All right. You're championing the cause. Now, here's something else that's very important. Let's give the kids life-shaping discipleship experiences. It needs to be in kids' language, which is fun, by the way. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't go right to the heart and change lives. And it must have all the impact of Scripture and that it would for an adult as well in an age-appropriate way. Also, I put up this one that's very important. Look at your entire church the way a guest on a first Sunday would look at. And silly, simple things make such a difference. There's one lady in our board of directors, and she came from a non-church background. She's been there 10 years now. But I asked her, well, how did you end up coming to this church? They go, well, we weren't really churched, and any time we went, it just wasn't fitting for our kids. So we said, we've got to try this thing. So they went around looking for a church where it might connect with their kids. And of all things, when their little girl got out of Kingdom Quest and showed her the craft, and there were two Band-Aids on the craft in the shape of a cross with "Jesus heals our hurts," and she talked about the Bible event. It was such a small, simple thing. Two Band-Aids. The two Band-Aid art craft. I mean, that's not rocket science. She said, "I'm coming back." It left such an impression with her. So it's those kinds of things as a guest make a difference. Now, I would describe high-impact discipleship as experiencing the love of Jesus in such a complete way that the response is this: let's love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So to do that, let's engage the whole child. Here's a story I'll tell. A girl who was 16 years old, her mom called me and asked, you know, for prayer, and because she was going through a medical condition that meant that she could no longer go to high school. And because of that, she was getting depressed, and it was just a hard, hard time. And of course, I said I'd pray for her. I didn't find out much about it, but then I asked the next day. She came back, and as she's going through it, she said, "Guess what? She's lifting out of this. It was just a deep, deep sadness." And she's using a lesson. She's losing what she learned in third grade. I go, "What?" She goes, "Yes, remember in third grade you taught her, 'I belong to Jesus, Satan take a hike.'" And she said it time and time again and kept her identity in Christ and realized that it was an attack from the enemy, and declared that victory: "I belong to Jesus, Satan, take a hike." I said, "Wow." But I'm curious, when did that happen? I went back to check the lesson. And that lesson happened on one of the most important holidays for kids, I think in America and Canada, Halloween. So we want to deal with that in church in a very real way. So the Sunday before was on spiritual warfare. And let me give you what I found in that lesson. And it begins with a warm-up activity that the kids take a sheet of paper, or actually it's playing a kind of conversation bingo, that they're talking about what they believe about spooks and goblins and witches. So, because we want to answer some of those questions that day. And after 15 minutes of their group building about that and what they're going to do for Halloween and that kind of stuff, then they go to their large group. Now, these are all the first through fourth graders together. So they go to the large group. And the large group, the puppet character always comes at it from a perspective of a third grade boy. We always want to reach the boys. You reach the boys, you win the day. All right? And he always has got something that he's got to learn, and also he's going to tie into the feelings that he has. And he's usually funny. I'm going to pick up with Donna, who is going to be the large group presenter, and Gordy, who is one of the puppets who is used. And I have got two people to hold the puppet stage. Would you come up, please? And yourself, would you come up and hold this curtain? And would you please come up and be Mrs. Microphone for me? You'll hold this. All right. And if you'll step all the way around here, since I don't have a lav, you just have got to hold it like this. And I've got to get Gordy here. Let me see. I got him right. All right. Very good.
You want to hire?
That'll work. Yes, that saves my back. Well, you know what? I could use a chair. But I don't have one, so let's go just like this.
All right. Should we begin?
Yes.
All right. Kids, should we see what Gordy is up to today?
Yeah!
Okay, let's call him.
Gordy! 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 Gordy!
Is that you, Miss Donna?
Gordy, what on earth is wrong with you?
It smells terrible in here.
No, I mean, why do you have a plastic sack over your head?
Well, it's that time of year that really scares me. It's Halloween. All those witches and ghouls and vampires and stuff, that really scares me.
So what's with the plastic bag?
Well, I figured that I could just keep hidden, and then none of those things are going to bother me, but it smells so bad in here.
Let me see. My goodness, Gordy, what is that on your nose?
What does it look like? Garlic.
Why do you have a piece of garlic on your nose?
Duh. To keep the vampires away.
Gordy, garlic doesn't keep vampires away. It only makes things smell funny.
That's why it smells so bad?
I thought
I was keeping vampires away.
No, you don't have to worry about vampires. Vampires aren't real. Although sometimes people pretend to be vampires, and some of them might even fall.
Follow the devil?
Yes. The devil will do anything he can to trick people and get them to turn away from God.
Whoa! Spooky!
It could be, Gordy, unless you know how to fight back.
You mean I get to fight the devil? Yeah!
Actually, it's Jesus who fights the devil. He has already beaten the devil, and we just stand on his conquered ground.
Stand on conquered ground?
Yes, we'll explain that today. It's just like when an army fights for a territory, and when the territory becomes conquered ground over the devil. You can tell the devil certain words that he can't stand.
Are they secret words?
No, they aren't secret words. You'll learn them today.
Can I learn them now?
Why don't you listen to today's lesson? See if you can learn the powerful words of Satan's warfare. Satan wants to trick us into staying on his side. He'll use anything to get us. This is called spiritual.
Okay, I'm listening. See you in a bit.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Then the lesson continued in the storytell section that illustrated the scripture in which the dramatized character that tells the Bible event was a persona of the evil. And yes, it can be spooky, but yes, it's important that even in the middle of those fears, we learn to deal with fears, because Satan is spooky, but God is victorious. So the dramatized character comes out. We finally found our use, by the way, of those old choir robes. And from the hobby store, the proverbial death mask. You may not know me, but I know you. I am the evil one. And I've got power that no one can stand against. Now I'm going to stop because you have a large group presenter. And he has a kid up there and he's teaching at the time. And they put some rope in a circle there. And he comes invasive. And we talk about the lies the enemy. One is that I'm too powerful for you. And the chant is, the kid uses the authority of God's word, saying, I belong to Jesus. Satan, take a hike.
And then when they do, all the other kids say it. And the evil one has to turn around and go away, but he'll come back with the next lie. I don't really exist. I'm just a little funny character with a pointy tail and horns. So you can see what's happening. But as the morning goes on, it's a strong spiritual truth. And third graders, first graders need to know they have authority in Jesus Christ. Now, when it goes back to their small group on this, they continue with that theme as they, I forgot their small group activity. They usually do one activity as they're talking about the Bible. But I'm just going to stop right there. Any questions on that? Now, yes.
Have you ever done that with really anxious kids?
Yes. Yeah, of course. Especially ADD kids, you know. And we pop balloons. We have to know the kids that we pop balloons. And we also do stuff with flash paper, fire, stuff like that. And that's the advantage of, there's a big shift in children's ministry, and it's a growing trend. And it's the power of the relationship. Because who should be the one who knows? The large group presenter, if they're the one who has to know it all, they can't. But it is that small group presenter. And what about the kids with puppet phobia? Because we have puppet phobia. Every system eventually has kids with puppet phobia. They can be 4 years old and have puppet phobia. So we need to find the right times to bring them out until the puppets go away, you know, and then they get over it. But it becomes an opportunity. Yes, God redeems it so we can use it for an activity of growth. Okay, thank you. Anything else? Yes. We wrote it. Yeah. And there's 10 in this. And by the way, please receive the fact that I am not here to sell curriculum. Do you? But we do produce curriculum. And we have produced, here's the story behind it. I'll just kind of tell you how it worked. Before I was a children's pastor, I was a pastor, and a church planter. And so 17 years ago, I was called, the Lord called me into it, kicking and screaming. I just didn't think, you know, but I had a real heart for kids. I had a lot of background in that, and I was halfway through my doctoral work in church planting, and I had all those courses in family ministry and evangelism and especially generational study, and then also how inductive Bible study technique. Well, I took those and I finished it and made the final project to be developing a curriculum that used the inductive Bible study technique for elementary age children that also used very creative, always Jesus-centered, and very active learning. So, part of that was to test it, and it tested with, I think, 15 churches. And then things started happening where we kept supplying them. So for us to keep supplying them, then we brought on a little bit more staff to keep up with the support of producing it, because you have to bring it up to a different level of quality if it's being used outside of your own place. Well, eventually it ended up becoming a publishing company, which was part of our mission arm. So one of the things that used to hack me off was that when I went to order curriculum, I found out that I ordered this year, but it was the same as 4 years ago, repackaged differently. And you know how expensive that is. You've all had that. And then also, you're always editing and adapting. Of course you are. Everybody does. You should. But that was kind of hard. And we said, well, wait a minute. Why don't we put it all electronic so you can edit and app? Yes. And then also, let's have a very full biblical scope and sequence. So we go through the Bible, because I wanted biblical literacy, and we go through the Bible so that they really got to know the Bible. Once, all the way through the Bible, every year. About half in the Old Testament, half in the New Testament. Everything's always pointing to Jesus. But like year one, year two, year three, year one, first part of the Old Testament, and it follows the rhythm of of the year, so that on Easter, you're on Easter, you know, that kind of stuff. And then the Old Testament starts in the summer until you get to Christmas, and then you go through one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Old Testament 1, 2, 3, 4. So they get a larger. And then what we said is take it and recycle it. do it again. We'll give you 54 lessons or 56 or whatever it is so that you can recycle it. So that was the story behind how we got started. And then we started the different ages. So, there's a booth. And then there are DVDs, sample DVDs online. And also, by the end of the thing, I'll tell you, we just have a whole bunch of stuff that's free. That's really what we're about. We want to really help people. So we have a lot of interesting kids ministry stuff that's free. Okay? But with this is the kind of, and now I'm going to start giving you examples of these principles as much as I can during this time period that kind of show you. Now, and that's not just to show you our material, really. It's about, these are principles that are important, okay? Because I believe that your ministry should touch the heart, open the soul spiritually, we want to open, teach the mind, and involve the body, and it should end up with equipping kids to serve. So, the principles of this, the first principle is discipleship best happens in relationships. Discipling happens through the power of the Holy Spirit working through His Word, but how's that most often delivered? It's what Jesus did, through relationships. And what are you doing to build relationships among shepherds, teachers, and their kids? And this is just a very, very important principle. Notice that these different systems of delivering children's ministry deal with relationships differently. And the question today in children's ministry is not what curriculum you use, it's what delivery system you use. Is that not true? Self-contained classroom. How many people use this? One teacher does all. Kind of. And this is the model. How many kids are in a group, in a classroom? It's not that important. If you have 20, you know, you have a teacher's assistant, right? But it has a lot of flux. The emphasis is a little bit more on teacher-learner information, correct? Particularly if you've got more than 10. But there's a lot of strengths to it. It's been around for a long time, and people relate to it. It's sometimes a challenge to enlist new volunteers for, because when you say, would you like to serve in children's ministry, they say, no, I'm not a
teacher.
And when they say that to me, I say, great, I'm not looking for teachers. I'm looking for guys like you that like to have fun with kids and can listen to them, and then in the middle of that game, you're going to help them see how it applies to the Bible. Really? Yeah, let me give you an example. I get to do that? Yeah. This is a second model. This is the large group, small group rotation. And this is what we use, except we don't do a pure large group, small group rotation because we believe in learning readiness, and we do 15 minutes learning readiness before every large group in grades 1 through 4 and also in 5th and 6th. At 4 and 5-year-olds, we do a large group, small group, large group, where they begin in a large group and then they go to small groups, and small groups are with their shepherd, and they rotate through three activities, a game, a craft, and a snack, as they tell the Bible event again and connect. And by the way, well, I'm going to stop there. And then there's workshop. Oh by the way, I should stop. How many people use a small group, large group rotation? Okay, did you notice that more people use that than self-contained classroom? 10 years ago, that was not the case. It is on the rise. Why? Relationships. And by the way, it's scary because, gosh, how are you going to get more shepherds? Right? It scares you at first. Guess what? The key to getting people is giving them something significant to do, to make a difference. And they can make a difference with a small group of 8 kids. And I listened to so many people say, gosh, I've taken this small group of 8 kids through 10 years. You know, and I just, now, who am I going to go down and get the next group of kids? And so, The next one is workshop rotation. Anyone use this? Okay, workshop rotation is you usually have a theme and you have all these different workshops that are going on and you rotate each week, you go to a different theme. Sometimes it works like in a vacation Bible school. The problem with it, there is some better curriculum out there now than there used to be 5-10 years ago. But it's very labor intensive. Also, it's hard for your scope and sequence because you spend sometimes so many weeks on the same lesson. But it's very involving, it's very active, and that's kind of nice too. The video-driven large group, small group, how many use this? And that's when you have most of your presentations done by video. I'm so surprised. And then they go to small group. Really? Wow. That was a huge trend 5 years ago. But a lot of people moved away from it. Why? Yeah. Even the relationship of the upfront presenter matters. And it's not just a video. And I would much rather have a guy up front doing what Donna did there than showing a real sharp video. Because you have interaction. Okay? And large group kids church. This is when you're mostly in a large group, the entire setting. And maybe within that you break out for a few activities. But they also call it arena. How many do this? Yeah, and this is sometimes good for a second hour, too. That's how we use it. We'll use it for a second hour so that our kids don't get the same lesson twice. And it's just easier because it's very volunteer-friendly. You only takes a couple volunteers, and you're doing it. And it's for us, it's an entire worship experience that's really comparable to worship experience that they get in the big house. So now we're going to go to the principles of high-impact discipleship. Touch the heart. Okay, that was connect with emotions. And so many different ways we can do this. Connect with feelings. Yeah, same thing, isn't it? Kids encounter a biblical truth at a deeper level by encountering it emotionally as well rationally. Kids need to talk about how they feel when they encounter life situations. This also helps them build relationships in a small group. Therefore, one of the most valuable skills for the shepherd is what? How to listen. In all your college classes, how many had classes? Speech. You had the speech class and you went to college. How many had a class in listening? God be praised. That's powerful. How many spouses has requested that you would enroll in a class in listening? And this is how we validate kids, how to slow down and listen to them. Okay, so for example, I've got my small group of 8 kids. I got 3, 4... 5 right here, and what's your name again? I'm so glad to see you guys today. Did you have a good week? Hey, guess what? I have got Reese peanut butter cups. Cool. Hey, yeah. You want to be in my small group? Yeah, you do. Of course you do. Well, hey, you know what we're going to be talking about today? This is a real cool Bible study. By the way, we don't use the word Bible story. We use the word Bible event. Oh, you already got one. Oh, yes, you're in my group, too. Yes. So, everyone got yours? Oh, Krista, I want you to know, I'm glad everyone's here, but you are my favorite. So I brought you some super-sized Reese's, because I know that's really what you like. There you go. What do the other kids just say?
What about us?
Yes. What about us? And also, not
fair.
Kids have got the not fair meter, you know, and it's off the charts right now. That is not fair. Oh, yeah. Well, have you ever been in a place where you felt left out? because someone else was a favorite? Has it ever happened like in your family or something? Let's talk about it. Now, guess what? They're talking. What Bible event have we just gotten ready for? Joseph, of course. And we're going to talk about jealousy jails us then. And their little Bible event that they're making is toothpicks punched into a little piece of, I think, I forgot. Anyway. But it's usually it's very tactile because we're always involving them and they're always opening their Bible by the end of the lesson. But we have to go to large group and get the Bible event explained for us. Okay? So, did you have a feeling? Did the other kids have a feeling?
Yeah.
And right now you feel guilty that you can't have it? Krista, believe me, I want you, now here's another feeling. Do you know that God does not want you to feel guilty when he says you are special to me? More than any, if there was no one else in the whole world that needed me to send my son Jesus, guess what? I'd send it for you. You are my princess. I want you to eat that. Take it home. You can do whatever you want. You might want to share one with maybe someone else, but tell them the story about how God says you are special to me when we don't need to be jealous of others, when God thinks we are so special. Okay? Next, so we have feelings going. We should. And this kind of stuff I like and I don't like because I just get, it begins to just melt me and I get sappy. But I will never see you guys again, so it's okay. Tickle, the principle in the touch the heart is also to tickle the need on this one. And which one did I? How much time do I have on how many I can do here? Uh-oh. I'm going to have to skip some. A lot of them, as a matter of fact. I'll say them. Tickle the need. And the more the student's aware of this need, the more they're going to be receptive as to what God's providing to meet this need. Oh, gosh, here's... Oh, I got to do this one. It's just so much fun. This is a mousetrap. And again, we are always targeting the boy. They're all over this one. Here's the contest. I need a boy up here. Yes, come on back. Give a hand clap for, who is this?
Andrew.
Andrew, come on up, Andrew. Now, Andrew, I don't have a pencil. Usually I use a pencil with an eraser, but this is still going to be adequate, I believe. Because here's your challenge, and all the guys are gathered around. It's laying on the floor. I don't want you to use your hands get anywhere near this because it could pop and just smack you. But can you trip this thing and get out before it touches the pen? Now, if you pull it off the table, it touches the pen. Now, usually I use a pencil eraser. But, okay, give it a try, Andrew.
Oh.
Scared you, didn't it? One time I was watching kids do this, and there was a little third grader, and they were doing it. He goes, pop, and it goes, pop. He jumps up, and he runs right out of the room. It was hilarious. So you got a little bit of surprise there, right?
Yeah.
All right, good. And now, go ahead. Now, they're all going to try it. No one's going to be able to do it. Correct?
Yeah.
No one's going to be able to do it. And the lesson that day is getting trapped. And let me get the take-home point exactly. I hope I've got it in here. I forgot the take-home point. Here's what it ends up. The take-home point, because it makes a difference on how what they discuss, when it is, oh yes, sin traps us, Jesus sets us free. Tell about a time that you did something wrong that nobody knew about. Then you got caught. And then the shepherd is invited to be the first one to give the example. Think those kids have something to talk about?
Oh,
they do. And they got trapped? So then that lesson, it is going to be about how David got trapped by sin, with the sin of Bathsheba. And that story needs to be talked about in a way that's age appropriate, and it does. And as a matter of fact, we have the trapper comes out in that ghostly costume, and he talks about how he traps David, and he tells his, with his mouse trap and his rat trap, and then finally the presenter says, yes, but how did it end? And he says, I don't want to talk about it. No, how did it end? I don't want to talk about it. I'll tell you how it ended. Nathan the prophet came and talked to him and said, you can repent and turn back to God, and he will cleanse you from it. And he reads from Psalm 51 of what happened. So he got freed from the sin that so easily entangles him. And when they went back in their group, what they did is now the contest, after they read that, they had their mousetrap again, and they said, here's the contest. This is you. Now, can you press, let the mousetrap fire, but get away free? No one can still do it. He goes, I'll show you the way. And then it's leaned up against that part. It's just resting there. So it doesn't trip it. It just leans it. And then another pin is put right next to it, crossways, and presses. And when it presses on the other pin, it trips it. And the pin, the pencil that gets hurt isn't you, because this was you. You're right there. Who took our sins on him? And the shape of the cross is right there. Because we need to talk about the cross throughout the whole Bible. And that's how we tickle that need with that. Now I'm going to fly through the rest of them. Open the soul, keep Jesus the center of every lesson, and that was an example of keeping Jesus the center of a lesson. Open the soul, give kids time to respond. Write this down. What is Jesus saying to you today? What is God saying to you today? Let your shepherd stop and ask that question. Dim the lights. Let the last minutes or so be prayer time together. It can be very, very powerful. Teach the mind. And this is repeat one main point. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the things the kids do with the puppets. We use puppets to identify with kids. And in the lower level, the puppet, this is Albie. And Albie can never get the puppet, the story right at the conclusion, can never get the main point, always says something silly. We actually study what kids laugh at certain ages, so we use the right kind of humor. And kids love silly at 4 and 5, and they love to teach the puppet, even though the puppet says, don't put graham crackers in your ears. Ah, that's really funny to a 4-year-old. By the way. And they're going to get it wrong 3 times. We're explaining what they did. Finally, the kids tell him one more time, and he sings it out, and he gets it right, and they're all stomping their feet, and it's a big hurrah. They know it's coming, and it came. And but they all leave knowing for sure that one main point. They've said it that morning all along. By the way, look at this. I am violating this. I have many more things to say, Jesus says to you, but they are too much. Because I am going to stop right now. And that's because we have lunch. And let's close and say grace for lunch. Lord God, we thank you so much for your gifts. And how we can raise the importance of children's ministry by doing what we do best. Discipling kids, leading them to you in a way that, Lord, just honors them in a way that connects with them, connects with their heart and their soul and their mind and even their bodies. Help us to do that so that, Lord, your kingdom would be advanced. Bless our food and fellowship today in Jesus' name. Amen.